This is Alive with Joseph.
Okay, let's get into the scriptures tonight. We began to look at faith in the blessing. And in the process of looking at faith in the blessing, we saw what power the blessing confers on us. We saw what power the blessing confers on us. And we also stopped at how do you activate the blessing. We looked at three of them, and we're going to get into number four, but let me recap the three quickly. Number one, we said we activate the blessing by the force of praise. Number two, we activate the blessing by the force of prayer. The force of praise, we saw the scripture, Psalm 67, verse 5 to 7 says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. And God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So praise is a platform for activating the blessing. Number two, we saw the force of prayer. Jacob provides us with a very good example in that dimension where he wrestled in the place of prayer, and he prevailed, and the blessing was activated. You'll find that Genesis chapter 32 from verse 28 to 24 to 28. We also saw the force of confession. The force of confession. We saw the force of confession as well. And we saw the scriptures that the Lord began to speak to us in the force of confession, God, which was 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That is to say, words are the most powerful things that God has given to you and I to work with here on the planet Earth. We also saw that, you know, the words in our mouth is very vital, because the scriptures tells us, James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if anyone, you know, the words of our mouth rather can create double-mindedness and stop the blessing from manifesting. Stop the blessing from manifesting. And, you know, as big as a sheep is, the Bible tells us in James chapter 3 that the small rudder is what is used to turn the sheep around. The same way our tongue is very small, and yet our tongue is what determines the manifestation of the blessing in our life. So if we are not careful with our confession, we may not be able to walk in the blessing. We may not be able to dwell in the blessing, even though the blessing has been given to us as believers. Number four, quickly. Number four, the force of the covenant of supernatural supply. The force of the covenant of supernatural supply. How do you activate the blessing? You activate the blessing by the force of the covenant of supernatural supply. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Amplified Classic Edition says, in everything I have pointed out to you by example, that by working diligently in this manner, we ought to assist the weak, being mindful of the words of the Lord Jesus. How he himself said, it is more blessed, makes one happier and more to be envied to give than to receive. So he said here that it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So you are engaging in the covenant practice in all areas of life to activate the blessing. The force of the covenant of supernatural supply is key, because you are activating or you are engaging in covenant practices in all areas of your life. Covenant practices in the area of supply, in the area of giving, in the area of receiving, in the area of tithing, in the area of offerings, in all of areas that benefits the kingdom of God. People often say, you know, that tithe was under the law, and yet that is not true. When you do not engage the covenant of supernatural supply, you may never see the blessing manifest. And one of those areas is your offerings, your tithing. And people will always say, argue concerning tithing. Often people say that the tithe is the law, the tithe is the old covenant. But let's see something here quickly. Let me show you something here. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. And cold and heat and summer and winter. And day and night shall not cease. Was this stated in the, during the new covenant, the old covenant? This statement was not made in the old covenant. Actually, the law was not available when this statement was made. It wasn't because the law, this statement was made not because the law was, you know, hiding. No, the law was not available when this statement was made. This was long before the law was given. In fact, Abraham was born 292 years after the flood. Between the death of Abraham and the birth of Moses was another 250 years. Take note of the figures I'm giving to you. I'm giving you theological side of this, and also so that we can bring a balance, so that when you tithe, you know that when you tithe, you are actually honoring the Lord. After Abraham was born, 250 years after the flood, between the death of Abraham and the birth of Moses was another 250 years, 292 years and 250 years. Moses entered into ministry at the age of 80 years. So we are talking about close to 600 years. When you add 250 years, add it to 292 years, and add 80 years after Moses entered ministry, we were talking about over close to 600 years or more. 600 years or more, which makes it that when the law was given, it was when tithing existed, the law was not given. When tithing existed, the law was not given. When the scripture said in Genesis 8, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease, the law was not given. So seed time and harvest was long before the law of Moses was ever introduced. God also makes it very clear that the duration for this seed time and harvest is as long as the earth remaineth. As long as the earth remaineth. What is the duration? As long as the earth remaineth. So seed time and harvest is still to be practiced. The reason why many believers are not seeing the manifestation of the blessing is because they have neglected this part of ministry, this part of Christianity. They have neglected the practice of the covenant of supernatural supply. And as a result, they pray, they fast, they do everything, but that area of their life continues to struggle. They have dominion over demons, but they don't have dominion over their pocket. They have dominion over witches. They don't have dominion over their finances. So you see a brother, a well-meaning brother, a powerful sister, pray very well, sweating and all of those kind of things, but poverty is teaching her a lesson. Why? Because that area, prayer cannot pray it away. Give Jesus praise. That praise is like, I say, give Jesus praise. Amen. So seed time and harvest. I know you're listening, so I appreciate that. Amen. So what about tithing? Did it begin under the law? No, it didn't. Abraham actually practiced tithing long before the law came. Abraham practiced tithing long before the law came. Genesis 14 verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thy enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. This was when Melchizedek met Abraham. Melchizedek met him, who was a prototype of Jesus in that time. Melchizedek was a prototype of Jesus. So he met Abraham here, and after the blessing, Abraham gave him tithes of all. Abraham gave him tithes of all. Yet, tithing continued under the law. Under the law, it continued, but God never intended for believers under grace or under the grace dispensation to put it aside or set it aside because the law was fulfilled. Tithing is not a debt that you and I owe to God, but a tool of thanksgiving that we give. Tithing is a tool of thanksgiving that we give. You know, I have a different attitude towards tithing simply because I understand the tremendous power it carries. I understand the power behind tithing. I understand how it enables me not just to, you know, preach the gospel, it also enables me to participate in the affairs of the kingdom of God. So tithing was not introduced during the dispensation of the law. It was introduced long before the law even came into existence. So let's actually add the 250 years, you know, of after the death of Abraham between Moses and also the 80 years of Moses' ministry. We'll be talking about close to 330 years. That was when tithing already was existing before the law came into existence. And you and I need to understand that tithing is a strong, strong force of the covenant of supernatural supply. Tithing is. It also gives us an opportunity to participate. It gives us an opportunity to participate in the building of God's house and his kingdom. Inasmuch as tithing works, it gives you and I the privilege, the opportunity to get involved with what God is doing. Bearing in mind that someone made a way for you to be able to receive salvation today. Listen, the gospel is free, but the means that conveys the gospel is not free. The means that conveys the gospel is not free. The gospel is free. The means that conveys the gospel is not free. That is why God wants, when the believer gets born again, the believer must participate in helping to spread the gospel. You don't do tithing out of religious obligation. You do it out of the respect to God who saved you, who delivered you. You do it out of respect to God who set you free. You do it out of respect to God who has blessed you, who has graced you, who has favored you. You don't do it as an act of, obligation. You do it as an act of love, not as an act of obligation. You do it as an act of love. The Bible says, For God so loved the world that he gave. Pastor Joseph so loves his God that he gives back to his God. Pastor Cordelia so loves his God that he gives back to his God. So for God so loved the world that he gave. Every expression of love without giving is fake love. Hear me, husbands. Every time, I love you, baby, I love you, baby. My brother, there is a greater love that even if you don't say anything, just buy her this gift. You don't even have to say, I love you. Just buy this gift. Look for the most expensive perfume and just buy for her. Don't say, baby, I love you. Leave the rest. She will know. 3 years now, you've been telling her, baby, I love you. No gift. 3 years now. Amen. I just spoke for a sister right now. Amen. 3 years now. Every day. Baby, I love you. 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 My brother, is enough. Now, buy her a gift. For God so loved that he gave. Joseph so loved that he gave. Amen. Give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. So we give to God not as a result of, as an act of obligation, but as an act of love. Not as out of, being forced, not out of being held at a gunpoint. You do it out of love. Not because I'm looking for something. One of the errors that have crept into the church over the years is that when you tithe, it means now that, money will just flow into your life. And someone tithes for 1 month, 2 months, they come back, nothing is happening. No. There's nowhere in the Bible that tithing promises money to return back to you. There's nowhere in scriptures. There's nowhere in scriptures that tithing promises to return money back to you. He said, I will open you up the windows of heaven. Malachi chapter. I will open you up. You are the one God opens up. Amen. Give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. And because that becomes the dilemma. So we're not doing it out of obligation. We're doing it out of love for God. And because it is also a kingdom principle. So our natural response should be that we are truly grateful to how good God has been to us. As a result, I cannot receive my salary. I cannot receive my profit from my business and not tithe out of it. I cannot receive my salary and not tithe because the Lord has been good to me. 30 days, I go out, I come in, go out and come in. I'm returning with gratitude to say, Lord, I am grateful. And I believe tithing should be a natural response if you are truly grateful for how good God has been to you. It should be a natural response. The only time tithing is not a natural response for some believers is because they're ungrateful. An ungrateful heart never sees a need why they must participate in anything that benefits the kingdom of God. So tithing should be our natural response for how grateful we are to how good God has been to us. In the Bible days, tithes and offerings were given to the high priest, who in turn offers it to God. And today Jesus is our high priest. That is why we make the confession. When Sean was leading us to make that confession, that is why we make the confession. We acknowledge Jesus as our high priest. We receive the communion. Why do we receive the communion? When Abraham gave tithes of all to Melchizedek, communion, the bread was broken. The communion was given. We are reminding ourselves of the covenant of supernatural supply. The covenant of supernatural supply. That God would take care of me. That God would, you know, take care of all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6 to 7. Go with me quickly. The force, how do you activate the blessing? We're looking at number 4 of it, which is the force of the covenant of supernatural supply. Number 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6 to 7 says, but this I say, this is the apostle Paul speaking, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, take note of that, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God does what? He loves a cheerful giver. Notice here, the motivation is not because God is making you do it. It is, the motivation is because you have purpose in your heart to do it. You have purpose in your heart to do it. I don't have to wait for God to tell me to tithe. I have purpose in my heart to do it. I don't have to wait for one voice to come, oh Joseph, where art thou? Rise, open your bank up. Now you must tithe. I don't have to wait for all of that. As he has purpose in his heart. Purpose in his heart. Purpose in his heart. Purpose in his heart. What I have, you know, is what you have purpose in your heart. You're not trying to get out of giving. Not after what you have seen that God has done in your life and what it has produced in your life. You don't fight God over giving. Many believers, they fight God over giving. They don't fight God over any other thing. Tell them, let's bind all the old witches in Polokwane. Ah! In the name of Jesus. But tell them, let's give. Ah, God, you know. God must speak to me first. Am I teaching good? Say amen to that. And those online, put any emoji right there to show that you're still there. Amen. So you give. You know, you don't. I give rather, even without hearing from God, because I know the scriptures are clear. The guidelines are clear on that. I don't have to wait for, you know, an audible voice to come speak into my ears. I know him. I constantly want to participate in whatever gives him joy. You and I should participate. This year should be one year you participate in what gives him joy. It should be in your nature as a believer to give. If you hang around God enough, listen friends, you will become a giver. Why? Because that is who he is. It is his nature. Our God is a giver. Listen, friends, God wants you blessed. He wants you to be taken care of. He wants to take care of you. He is our high priest. That is why when you and I come before the Lord, he wants to take care of us. And you and I must have that mindset that God wants you blessed. God wants to take care of you. He is looking for how to bless you. And please, you must understand as well that generosity is not because you have plenty. Because very often, people think that, you know, generosity is because you have plenty. Often I've seen that those who have plenty are always not generous. Those who have plenty are always not generous. There was a time Jesus stood by the offering basket in Mark chapter 12. And he said, look, you know, people were dropping their offerings. And he said, look at this widow. She has given the most because she gave her all. She gave her all. Mark chapter 12 from verse 41 to 44. You will find that there. Now, Jesus doesn't look at what you give. He looks at what you hold back. He doesn't look at what you give. He looks at what you hold back. He doesn't look at what you give. He looks at what you hold back. She gave him everything. It was the heart that Jesus was looking at. And I'm not saying you should give everything you have. That's not what I'm saying right now. No. I don't want you to give out of emotion. No. I'm only saying you should give everything. I'm not saying you should give everything. I'm only saying you should give. Let it flow from a heart of generosity. Let it flow from you understanding that I cannot withhold anything back from this God. This God has been so good to me, so good to me that I cannot withhold anything back from him, because that is part of activating the blessing. So this is why tithe and giving is necessary. Number one, it is an act of thanksgiving to God. Your tithe is an act of thanksgiving to God. Your tithe, hear me and hear me well, your tithe is an act of thanksgiving to God. It is an act of thanksgiving to God. It's an act of thanksgiving to God that you're returning back with gratitude, that you are not ungrateful for all that God has done for you. Every day he watches over you. Every day he preserves you. Every day he does things for you that money cannot buy. Every day, there's something I and my wife were discussing, and we said, actually, did you see that money can't even buy that? I can't even remember what it was. But you see how limited money is. But God does for you and I what money cannot buy. So number one, your tithe is an act of thanksgiving. Number two, your tithe is an act of love and gratitude to the God who didn't withhold anything from you, but freely gave you his son to die for you. While you were yet a sinner, Jesus died for you. So it's an act of love, an act of gratitude. It's an act of love, an act of gratitude. Any love relationship that is one-sided will soon collapse. Any relationship that is one-sided, only one person is pouring in. After a while, the relationship will die. The relationship will just die a natural death. Number three, your tithes and offering and giving, it gives you an opportunity. You participate in the expansion of God's house, his kingdom. It provides you a platform to take care of what is nurturing and feeding you. You take care of what is nurturing and feeding you. You take care of what is nurturing and feeding you. You don't want to have that mindset that, you know, that you're always taking, give me. My name is Jimmy. Just keep giving me, give me. Is there also free coffee? Give me free coffee as well. Is there also free water? Give me. No. You participate in what is nurturing you. You know, one of the most exciting thing to do in life is to participate in something. Give Jesus praise, everybody. Number four, you participate in the winning of souls because your resources is also involving outreaches and evangelisms. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise one more time. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Those of you who are already tithing and giving, the Lord will continue to multiply you. May you never, you know, be discouraged in doing the work of God. And for those who have not started, start where you are. God will never ask you what you don't have. God will never ask you what you don't have. God will never ask you to go and borrow to give to him. No. You start where you are. He will never ask you what you don't have. Why is it that we don't do vows in our life church? The reason we don't do that is we don't want you to come out and make commitments you know you don't have. You know what I say? Is anybody that will give one million? Then you just run out of excitement. And where now you know, you don't even have 100 rand. You say, I'm coming out by faith. Don't step out by faith. No. We don't want you to do that. Don't get yourself. Bible says we shouldn't make vows. We shouldn't make vows that we can. So that's why we don't do that at a life church. We challenge you. There are projects we challenge you to give. Why? Because you should do it not out of obligation. Do it as an act of love. You know, anything you do from a place of understanding blesses you. I'm telling you the truth. It blesses you. Amen. Giving. I enjoy giving. I have told myself in a week, I've told myself, not God now, not even what I give to God, that, you know, in a week, there's a certain amount I have in my head I must give to people. I enjoy giving. Naturally. I must just find something to give you. If you come around me, I must just find something to give you. That's how I roll. Sometimes I will even give without letting my wife know because she will rebuke me for she's more like, do you want to give even your life? Yeah. Amen. Because she's right. Because if you don't monitor such thing, I will even give the money to buy food for them. I'll just give it away. And I'm enjoying Jesus, loving God and living well and, you know, God taking care of me. You know. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise. Amen. Now I'm speaking to you, Anna, as a father. So your giving does all of those things. Number five, how do you activate the blessing? The force of light. This is the force of the word of God. Light from the word of God. After Peter by revelation said who Jesus was, listen to what Jesus said to him in Matthew chapter 16 verse 17. He says, then Jesus answered him, blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied than you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood men have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Revelation from the word of God brings the blessing. Every time God opens your eyes to something new in his word, a fresh release of the blessing comes upon you. A fresh release of the blessing comes upon you. Number six, force. The force of service to God. Service to God is a gateway to releasing the blessing. It is a gateway. Exodus 23 verse 25. You shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness from your midst. You serve the Lord your God. Service to God is a gateway. Your heavenly Father doesn't have to beg you to serve him, the same way you don't have to beg him to bless you. When you serve God and his interest, you commit God to blessing you. And how do you serve God? Number one, you serve God in-house service. We have in-house service. You find something to do for God. Find something to do for God. Listen, never be part of a movement, a part of, you know, a church, and never get involved in an in-house service. Find some pulpit ministry is not in-house service. Because some people are only waiting for the day we give them microphone. Microphone is not in-house service. Find something to do. Find something else to do. Find something else to do in the house of God. Check all our ministers. They do one thing or another. Check all our ministers. One moment you see them, they are doing protocol. The next moment, they are standing here at the pulpit. The next moment, they are ushering you. Why? Because service to God is not pulpit ministry. Hallelujah. In-house service. Number two, soul winning service. You are committed to the salvation of souls. So committed to the salvation of souls. We have made it easier for you. Pick up the flyer. Reach out for souls. Hunt for souls. Go for them. Reach out for souls. Listen, the scripture says anyone that wins soul is wise. Are you understanding me? You know, we live in a time where we no longer talk about soul winning in our generation. When I got born again, 1991, that's when I got born again. 1991. When I got born again, 1991, you know, one of the things we were taught was soul winning. I've shared my testimony with you so many times here. But for the interest of those who have not heard it, I went on soul winning with some older guys in the church then who were much more older than me in ministry. And we go for evangelism. Then I was a student. So, you know, we prepare time for evangelism. So they said, this time around, as you're going to school, we're going with you. So we'll go to evangelism on your way to school. And we entered the bus, paid the bus fee. And after the bus moved, they told me, now stand up. Start speaking. I hung. And naturally, I stammer. And they took over. But after some time, I knew that I must win souls for Jesus. I started doing it on my own. I can't meet you and not speak to you about Christ. Soul winning. Get involved in soul winning. That's how you serve God. It will shock you that there are believers today, since they ever got born again, they have never spoken to anybody about Jesus. Nobody. They have never spoken. People don't even know that they are born again. They are secret service Christians. CIA Christians. FBI agents, you know, they are hiding. We only know that they are Christian here. But when they leave this place, that's that they don't have Bibles. Number three, serve God in the defense of the gospel. That's how you serve God. Serve God in the defense of God. You don't sit where they are mocking God and his church and you're participating in it. You're just smiling. No. You can't try that with Muslims. Some years ago, about last year or 2 years ago, in as much as that was barbaric and demonic, a young girl in northern part of Nigeria said something about Islam. They descended on her. It's only believers who sit in a place where God is being mocked and they are laughing along. Don't participate in mockers of God. Amen. Give the Lord your praise this morning, this evening. As I close somewhere here. Number 7, quickly. How do you activate the blessing? The force. Number 7, the force of faith. I've been teaching you on faith. Be here on Sunday as I continue on faith. The force of faith. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Galatians 3:9. So then, them which be of faith, they are blessed with faithful Abraham. You can't be in faith and be cursed. They which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Listen, your faith in God, your belief in the word, you acting on the word of God provokes and activates the blessing. It provokes and activates the blessing. Number 7, how do you, activate the blessing? Number 8, rather, the force of uprightness, righteous living, godly living, uprightness. Bible says in Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Uprightness, righteous living, godly living. There must be a difference between a believer and unbelievers. There must be a difference. Not just because we pray, but in living. How are you living? Upright living activates the blessing. Listen, upright living activates the blessing. How are you living? How are you living? Upright living. There are many believers who just do things anyhow, live anyhow, and they're wondering why the blessing is not manifesting. The blessing can't manifest when you are not upright with God. Yes, we have the righteous nature in us. That one. But there is a part where there is a demand for you to live as believers, amongst all believers. Live as a believer. We should look at you and know that this one truly is born again. We shouldn't be doubting. Do you know that we are the epistles that people read? We are the epistles that people read. In the office, you're crooking everything. You steal office things. They are stealing, you are stealing, so there's no difference. They are cutting corners, you're cutting corners, there's no difference. When we search you, we see all of the office materials in your pocket. All the pen, all the everything. The office tissue, everything in your bag. And you come and lift up holy hands. No, my sister, bring down that hands. That's not holy hand. Bring it down. Godly living. Hallelujah. Faithfulness in living for God. Living for his kingdom in all ramification. Listen, we're dealing with it yesterday in prayers. Defilement contaminates the blessings. And it hinders the blessing from manifesting. Defilement. Many believers are too defiled. Too many Christians are defiled. As a result, the blessing is not manifesting. Number 9, the last one. The force of priestly covering and pronouncement. It activates the blessing. Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 to 27. Speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel. Did you hear that? Saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep you. I'm praying for you now. The Lord bless thee and keep you. I didn't hear your amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. He is gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace in the name of Jesus. He said, bless them. That is why I bless you every day. Morning prayers, I declare blessings over you. Because the priestly covering and pronouncements activates the blessing. The priest pronounces the blessing. And the Lord confirms the pronouncement of the priest. The value and honor for the priest over your life secures the blessing. There are those who no longer honor the priest. They don't honor the pastor, particularly in a church like this, where the pastor is just free with everybody. If you're not careful, you may miss God. You become too casual. Hey, when I Joseph. Hey, hola. Okay. No problem. No problem. Priestly pronouncement. The value of honor. We live in a generation that don't understand honor anymore. You pass these young ones by the door. They are looking at you like leukozade. No honor. Priestly blessing. Obeying the instructions of the priest over your life. It guarantees answers and secures the blessing. It guarantees answers, secures the blessing. There is a power the priest carries. There is a, yes, we all are anointed by the Holy Ghost, but we all don't have the same mandate of blessing. He says, say to the sons of Aaron, put that scripture back on the screen. Speak unto Aaron and his sons, saying, on this wise, he didn't say to any other person, only Aaron, not even to Moses, only to Aaron and his sons, tell them, they have an assignment. That's why at our life church, we bless you. We don't curse you. We don't stand there and be, you know, curse. That priest doesn't understand himself. The priest has an assignment. What is the mandate? Speak unto them, saying unto them, the Lord bless you. I declare again, the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. The Lord will keep you in the name of Jesus. The Lord will make his face shine upon you in the name of Jesus. He is gracious unto you in the name of Jesus. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you in the name of Jesus and gives you peace on every side in the name of Jesus. Let your amen come like thunder. Hallelujah. So you're not just in church, but also you're committed and involved in church, that you, in the church that you belong to. You're committed to the instructions of the house. You're committed. When you do all of that, listen, the blessing has no choice but to fall. 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 There are things that you will never have to pray for all your life. I'm telling you now. There are things that will never come up in your prayer request. Because when a believer is in the blessing, Hayana Marabadaya. No devil can curse you, because the blessing is superior to the curse. I declare again over you, by the force of the blessing, you are lifted in the name of Jesus. You are decorated in the name of Jesus. You are lifted in the name of Jesus. You are decorated in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your highest praise this evening. Let's rise on our feet.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.